Ekman set up the projector. Tompkins waited in the back. He had been told nothing about the tribes involved. All identifying context had been edited out. Tompkins looked on intently, peering through his glasses. At the end of the film, he approached the screen and pointed to the faces of the South Foray. "These are a sweet, gentle people, very indulgent, very peaceful," he said. Then he pointed to the faces of the Koo-Koo-Koo-Koo. "This other group is violent, and there is lots of evidence to suggest homosexuality. Even today, a third of a century later, Ekman cannot get over what Tompkins did. My God, I vividly remember saying, 'Sylvan, how on earth are you doing that?'" Ekman recalls. And he went up to the screen, and while we played the film backward in slow motion, he pointed out the particular bulges and wrinkles in the faces that he was using to make his judgment. That's when I realized I've got to unpack the face. It was a gold mine of information that everyone had ignored. This guy could see it, and if he could see it, maybe everyone else could too. Ekman and Friesen decided, then and there, to create a taxonomy of facial expressions. They combed through medical textbooks that outlined the facial muscles, and they identified every distinct muscular movement that the face could make. There were 43 such movements. Ekman and Friesen called them action units. Then they sat across from each other again, for days on end, and began manipulating each action unit in turn, first locating the muscle in their minds, and then concentrating on isolating it, watching each other closely as they did, checking their movements in a mirror, making notes on how the wrinkle patterns on their faces would change with each muscle movement, and videotaping the movement for their records. On the few occasions when they couldn't make a particular movement, they went next door to the UCSF anatomy department, where a surgeon they knew would stick them with a needle and electrically stimulate the recalcitrant muscle. That wasn't pleasant at all, Ekman recalls. When each of those action units had been mastered, Ekman and Friesen began working action units in combination, layering one movement on top of another. The entire process took 7 years. "There are 300 combinations of two muscles," Ekman says. "If you add in a third, you get over 4,000. We took it up to 5 muscles, which is over 10,000 visible facial configurations. Most of those 10,000 facial expressions don't mean anything, of course. They are the kind of nonsense faces that children make. But by working through each action unit combination, Ekman and Friesen identified about 3,000 that did seem to mean something, until they had cataloged the essential repertoire of human facial displays of emotion. Paul Ekman is now in his 60s. He is clean-shaven, with closely set eyes and thick, prominent eyebrows, and although he is of medium build, he seems much larger. There is something stubborn and substantial in his demeanor. He grew up in Newark, New Jersey, the son of a pediatrician, and entered the University of Chicago at 15. He speaks deliberately. Before he laughs, he pauses slightly, as if waiting for permission. He is the sort who makes lists and numbers his arguments. His academic writing has an orderly logic to it. By the end of an Ekman essay, each stray objection and problem has been gathered up and cataloged. Since the mid-1960s, he has been working out of a ramshackle Victorian townhouse at the University of California at San Francisco, where he holds a professorship. When I met Ekman, he sat in his office and began running through the action unit configurations he had learned so long ago. He leaned forward slightly, placing his hands on his knees. On the wall behind him were photographs of his two heroes, Tompkins and Charles Darwin. "Everybody can do action unit 4," he began. He lowered his brow, using his depressor glabelli, depressor supercilii, and corrugator. "Almost everyone can do AU 9. He wrinkled his nose, using his levator labii superioris aliquai nasi. "Everybody can do 5. He contracted his levator palpebri superioris, raising his upper eyelid. I was trying to follow along with him, and he looked up at me. "You've got a very good 5, he said generously. The more deeply set your eyes are, the harder it is to see the five. Then there's seven. He squinted. 12. He flashed a smile, activating the zygomatic major. The inner parts of his eyebrows shot up. That's AU1, distress, anguish. Then he used his frontalis, pars lateralis, to raise the outer half of his eyebrows. That's AU2. It's also very hard, but it's worthless. It's not part of anything except kabuki theater. 23 is one of my favorites. It's the narrowing of the red margin of the lips. Very reliable anger sign. It's very hard to do voluntarily. He narrowed his lips. Moving one ear at a time is still one of the hardest things to do. I have to really concentrate. It takes everything I've got. He laughed. This is something my daughter always wanted me to do for her friends. Here we go. He wiggled his left ear, then his right ear. Ekman does not appear to have a particularly expressive face. He has the demeanor of a psychoanalyst, watchful and impassive, and his ability to transform his face so easily and quickly was astonishing. There is one I can't do, he went on. It's AU39. Fortunately, one of my postdocs can do it. AU38 is dilating the nostrils. 39 is the opposite. It's the muscle that pulls them down. He shook his head and looked at me again. Oh, you've got a fantastic 39. That's one of the best I've ever seen. It's genetic. There should be other members of your family who have this heretofore unknown talent. You've got it. You've got it. He laughed again. You're in a position to flash it at people. See, you should try that in a singles bar.